Welcome to the New Process Podcast. Learn all the tools, methods, and best practices combined with people, emotions, and a human-centric mindset to rethink your process and push it to the next level. And here is your host, Mirko Kloppenberg.
Yeah, welcome to episode 28 of the New Process Podcast. Today we're going to explore how to innovate processes. And to explore this, who would be a better guest than Mr. Inno himself? So today I'm talking to Nelson Inno. Nelson is CEO of WeSpark. He founded WeSpark in 2019 in Frankfurt, Germany. WeSpark is Frankfurt's first dedicated innovation agency. They use unique, engaging, and extraordinary innovation methods to empower a culture of innovation. Before founding WeSpark, Nelson worked as senior innovation manager for Lufthansa Cargo. Nelson holds an MBA and a degree in industrial engineering from Furtwangen University. Even more interesting, and this is also going to play a role in this episode, Nelson was born and raised in El Salvador. As I already said, he also worked for Lufthansa in the past, and actually, we discussed that afterwards. We are not sure if we ever met in person, but we somehow got in contact during our Lufthansa time. Since then, we're connected on LinkedIn, and I'm following closely what he is doing, and it's super inspiring to see and to follow. So when thinking about how to learn more about innovation, I simply had to invite him to the New Process Podcast. So in today's episode, you're going to learn a lot about how an innovative mindset looks like. We'll talk about how to develop innovations in general, and Nelson will also tell you more about the important aspects for successfully developing innovations. He is also providing his advice to process owners on how to innovate processes and how to proceed in detail to do this. So I'm also asking him for his top three recommendations on how to rethink processes, as well as which topics and experts he recommends us as the New Process community to have a closer look at. So enjoy the interview with Nelson Inno.
And now, let's start to rethink processes.
Yeah, welcome to the New Process Podcast, Nelson. It's great to have you here on this flight today talking about innovation. I don't know where the flight will lead us to, but just welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I guess this is the kind of flight that, you know, you just get on board and it's going to take you somewhere. Surprise flight.
Yeah, exactly. But before we board, where would you like to sit? Aisle or window seat?
I don't know. Like, usually if it's a long flight, I would like to sit on the window. If it's a short flight, on the aisle. I don't know. It's kind of like a thing. There's no real reason for it. Like, I don't care about being bothered, but I care about bothering other people more. So in this flight where I don't know where it's going to go, yeah, maybe I pick the window.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. And which is your favorite airport?
My favorite airport? Well, at first I thought, yeah, maybe like when I arrive home in El Salvador, that's one of my favorites, but it's actually a terrible airport. It's being upgraded. To be honest, like, actual favorite airport before for a long time was Roatan Airport, which this little Caribbean island, actually in Honduras.
Okay.
But nowadays, I really believe it's the Sadar Airport, because right outside of it, there's like this little park, and every time I flew from there, I would just like have some beers, relax under the sun in the park. So it's the most chillax airport ever. It's not the airport itself and the infrastructure. It's that, you know, it takes 5 minutes to just go to your gate, and like going through security and everything, like checking passport security, is so easy, so fast. So that makes it my favorite airport by far.
Yeah, and that's where? Where is it?
Sadar in Croatia, sorry.
Croatia, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, Croatia. I've never been there, but maybe sometime
Every summer.
Okay, we thought about going to Croatia by car, like a Volkswagen bus, you know?
Yeah, with some stops, why not?
Yeah, yeah, but now we decided for this summer to go to Italy again. But maybe next time.
It's also a good option, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. So let's continue with the check-in. What was the best process you have ever experienced?
The best process? Yeah, to be honest, creating a Bitcoin Lightning wallet.
Okay.
Because, I mean, at the end, it's a process. It's an onboarding process, but you download the app, press create account, and you're done. So, and then you can start making transactions, receiving transactions. So yeah, like to be honest, I had to think now, but it was so easy.
I think there was an authentication, or by video or something like that, or where you had to show your passport and
nothing. No name, no username, no address, no social insurance number. Just like boop, connect, and then it's gone. I mean, it's really nice. Like, some people think that it's bad because a lot of people can, you know, like use it for buying stuff in the black market and so on. But on the other hand, once you imagine I go to a big supermarket chain and I use the same account that I use for anything illegal. I don't know, like, let's say that selling rabbits without a license is illegal. Then they could track and see absolutely all my transactions ever. So yeah, that would make no sense. But yeah, but that's the nicest process ever, because it's just so short and it achieved what I wanted without anything else.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, cool. Perfect. How would you describe your relationship to process overall?
With processes. Well, I don't know if this is the case with most people that you have talked in this podcast, but I used to market myself as a process re-engineer or process engineer for maybe like around 1/3 now of my entire career. In fact, what I was doing is I was going like from corporate to corporate. I would check the processes and eventually kind of like saw this big pattern and I noticed that everything works the same. Every industry, from repairing aircrafts to, I don't know, like selling software, everyone was following kind of like the same patterns in a way, you know? So there's some things that you need to adapt, things that you need to tweak that are just like important in your industry or in your specific company. But yeah, so I was doing that, and yeah, eventually I decided to kind of like move away from just like designing processes. But you know, I had a good 4 years of just doing that, and I was really good at it. I mean, at least other people said that. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I already introduced you as Nelson Inno. Yeah, I think the name says it all. You are living for innovations, but I think that's not really your real name. So who gave you the name?
Yeah,
and why?
My real name is like four like long Spanish names, but the Nelson Inno came from Moritz Neuhaus. He's like he's an entrepreneur and helps people grow their LinkedIn careers or LinkedIn profiles.
Okay.
And I don't know, like there was like a friend of a friend who once was interviewed by him, and they asked if they could do it in my office, the one that I had back in Frankfurt before. Now we're all decentralized at WeSpark. But yeah, I met him, and then we decided to record some podcasts, and he just said in one sentence that I have even recorded, like, "Nelson, Mr. Inno in my eyes," he said. And then afterwards, he kind of suggested me, like, "Look, maybe you can consider creating a brand out of your name." And since I changed it, it really boosted, like sales. I mean, what is sales? I mean, it's just more people were coming and they wanted to have more like interviews or podcasts with Nelson Inno, or more conferences when Nelson Inno appears. Everyone wanted to work with Nelson Inno. The other names were very long, and you know, sometimes it's this like unconscious things that you see a name and you just don't know how to talk with this person because you don't know how to pronounce the last name.
Yeah.
So maybe for a microsecond you're a little bit too shy. So like, okay, I'm gonna check maybe how it is spelled later on Google Translate or something.
Yeah.
But then you forget, and then that's one person that is not contacting you for some support anymore. Yeah. So yeah, I tried that. I believe that it's sticking. But I still have like half of my life with my old name, like 2 Forbes interviews with my old name and things like that. And like 5, 6, 7 newspapers that are still writing my Nelson, like Spanish name and so on. But now I try to stick with Nelson, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. Is it printed in your passport as well as artist name?
Not yet. So I am in the process of accumulating from standard media lots of moments where people call me Nelson Inno.
Yeah.
And then I have to go basically like to the, I forgot the name of this in English, but I have to go to these like buildings from the government.
Yeah.
Then I will ask for in German they call it Künstlername, in English it means like like an artist name. But I have to present evidence. So yeah, most of the evidence or half of the evidence is in my own name. So I'm trying to get more. But I just, I was just now like in an ARD documentary called Bitcoineros. Wow. Yeah, so that's going to help.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like, oh, German TV. Yeah. This must be real. You know, but yeah, but you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, Ah, that's cool. That's really innovative. That perfectly fits. So you founded the company WeSpark. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's the core philosophy of your approach?
Yeah, so you have to understand why I started WeSpark. And this is like, I don't know if I ever said this anywhere online. This might be the first time. But yeah, but the honest truth is, well, I was working for a big, cool airline.
I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah. And once I quit, I wanted to just like discover more the innovation stage, like in the region and in Germany and eventually in Europe, and just contribute. But for real, what I was thinking is, okay, I want a company that, because of three reasons. One is, yeah, I want to be like my own boss and free from 9 to 5 corporate job and so on. I thought to myself, number two was very easy. It was, I wanted to be able to buy and afford all the tech stuff, all the tech gadgets that let me play around like, sometimes a little bit more. So I wanted to get the expensive tech stuff and play around with it. This is very difficult to do when you don't have your own project, so to say. And number three, and that's the interest part, I wanted to create a company that will allow me to get multiple perspectives from multiple companies, industries, people, ideas, so that eventually one day with all the input together and through the process of synthesis of combining A and B into C, that I could come out with my own like digital scalable idea, which will become eventually a project to retire. And yeah, and I believe now it has finally happened. I mean, this is a fifth company that I'm starting. Second, the third, the fourth, they all disappeared. When I say that they failed, is I killed them eventually because, yeah, they were not getting there where I wanted or as fast as I wanted. So I just moved to the next idea. But nowadays, all of this turned into the philosophy, and I'm sorry if this answer is too long, but it turned into the philosophy that we want to help other people innovate, as simple as that. But very important for the approach is that we don't go out there and it's like, oh, do you want to innovate? Or, oh, do you want an innovation workshop? Or do you want to create a new product? We believe that that doesn't work. So everything for us is just about creating content and educating other people in short bursts. Like when for example, when you ask me now for a podcast, I'm like, yeah, super awesome. I mean, like everyone who's watching has maybe like opportunity to learn something. I'm also a little bit there. And eventually, when people have a problem and they have been exposed to WeSpark's content and so on, they just think like, okay, maybe now's the time. Like, I have been seeing this post. Maybe they can help us solve. And usually when customers come, they always have the same. This is a pattern that I just know is this is a guarantee customer. They always say, look, we have a problem, and they describe the problem. Then they talk a little bit about like the budget that they might have or the timing. And third one, they are the first ones to say call to action of, hey, let's meet and talk with this to see whether you can support us. And that I know that's going to work. But on the same time, so that this happens, in our buffer time, so in our free time, we do a lot of pro bono. So we have been educating like particularly one NGO around education in El Salvador called the Gloria Creed Foundation. We have helped educate over 2,000 kids in innovation methods and so on. So when we are creating our content, we actually create it for kids. And then it's the same content that we show to the adults. You have no idea. This is so effective. It's just, you know, like we try to go to the essence and let everyone be able to explore further material by themselves. But we only concentrate on what matters. And at the same time, we are also creating our own methodologies and documenting them. And from time to time, we share them sometimes with official institutions, sometimes just online in social media. And those are the three aspects. You know, we have like customers that pay us to solve their problems through innovation methodologies. With this money, we take the time to create new innovation methods and new content and material and processes and so on. And then this one goes to the pro bono, and like when we're doing like kind of like charity and educating others. And then these people start applying everything what they learn, and they basically give us feedback. We tell us like, look, this 80% here, what you're watching, this is proof. Like all the big companies are using it. This is from us. We have invented it. Let us know what you think about it, you know, so that they know what it's like tested and not tested. And through their feedback, we have this like, we are just sure that we can utilize these new methodologies for the corporates and for the businesses that are paying for all of it. So that's how it works. I don't know if I extended a little bit more like the question of whether it's a philosophy or not, but I just wanted to kind of like show how it all works. I hope that's kind of like the answer.
That's super interesting. I love this pro bono approach. And we did something similar for processes in the past to collect best practices, for example, and share that with the community. That's always good to do something pro bono. Yeah, super cool. So what was your favorite project you have ever been working on?
Yeah, to be honest, it must be now the one that I'm working in, the fifth company. It's so crazy because it's a big question, right? But if you ask me, I never been so excited about working on something like we're doing now. And it's kind of like a company that is decentralizing marketing approach. Mm-hmm. And why I like the process in particular is, well, we were the ones leading it. So we can define, and we try to create our own approach based a little bit on the design sprint from Jake Knapp, like the one from Google Ventures. Mixing with other things from design thinking and so on, but always giving our own approach to things. When we don't need something, we get rid of it. When we need something new else or something in parallel, because it's at the end of like a double-sided platform where there's like both customers and users and so on, it can get very complex. Yeah, we just will take the process as, okay, these are like kind of like the big milestones. This is what we're going to get. But having the flexibility to change it within like 5 or 10 minutes, just say everyone like address the deciders. Hey, look, I believe maybe we can steer somewhere else here. Let's not continue going this way. Let's steer a little bit. It's not gonna be big change, but let's do something. Everyone gets 5 minute break. At the end of those 5 minutes, like with my team, we will be like, okay, we come back, and it's like everything feels very smooth. Like it was all part of the process, and that's what I like, because you know, when I think about processes and why they exist. As you scale any organization, any operations, any type of institution, from NGO to pay to whatever, you create processes to scale and to be able to control the behavior from people, that their behavior still gets you to the goal. I mean, this is my personal opinion, right? We might differ, but yeah. But the thing is that the processes don't adapt back to you. They don't adapt back to your emotions, to the atmosphere in the room or the weather outside or whether there's someone missing or someone not or how the team synergies are or if there's someone new at once or someone, you know, like one person goes out and another one comes in. All of these things are usually not addressed in processes, to the point that when I was still doing this, I wanted to pursue a PhD and write about flexible processes or processes that adapt to everything else. But yeah, I kind of figure out that I'm not the sort of person that should be looking this. And yeah, I mean, maybe one day I pursue it, but for now I prefer to just be building things instead of just researching things.
Yeah, I know that academic process because I started mine as well, and I decided to postpone it a little bit and do something
else. Yeah, it's
else
okay.
Cool. So let's dive a little bit deeper into how you create innovations. Is there a specific procedure? So how do you proceed to develop innovations?
Yeah, like from the process perspective, I imagine, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
Akim, the first thing that I believe makes everything easier, so if you create any process or something smaller like a methodology or a task, we always check that there is some sort of problem or challenge, something that disturbs the surroundings, mm-hmm. and that you think is, okay, this is worth time to invest to change this so that it's better. That's a kind of first thing. And basically I'm saying like we always start with the problem. And understanding what's the problem. Is it worth it? And so on, because sometimes the problems are so small. There is one metaphor or kind of like short story that I remember that will totally just like nail and describe what I mean with this. There was, they say like in this super important like industry, they have like a production line and there is one problem that in between some parts will be missing. And at the end, they needed to check whether the parts are complete or not, because like correcting that mistake would cost millions and so mm-hmm. on. So they made that very elaborate, like for hundreds of thousands of euros, very elaborate kind of like scanner looking at the things. But at the end, like the solution that stuck is that one of the people who work in the floor, he just put a really, really big fan that would just fly away like the parts that are smaller that are missing something, you know, so poof, 10 euros. And it's just solving it, right? So at first, it's always about concentrating in this problem and kind of see whether we can solve the problem, not 200%, but just partially or in a very, very cheap manner. And if that's possible, we just do. And then, you know, there's no need to continue with the process. But right after that is when we say like, okay, this is a problem that really, really bothers us, that is worth taking the time. Then we always go on the side of, okay, so why does it bother us and so on? Because sometimes you think this is the problem, but there's something else that would be like the next step. And eventually, let's assume that we said, like, okay, this is a problem. We understand the why. So we're going to work on this root cause. Like from this moment on, it's just depending on what type of problem, the industry, the people, it just goes like, this is kind of set. And then it's like, everything is possible. So, but yeah, but usually in the most generic way, I will say that right after we understand the problems very well, what we try to do is to segment the problem in certain categories, whether it's like something around technologies, about process nature, or if it's something around communications and so on. And then we try to create a first segment, little easy solutions to it. And once we have them, we see whether we combine it in one more, or where we can leave some parts unaddressed because they are not so important. So that if you solve 80% of the problem with 5% of the effort, then this is awesome. You know, you don't have to go to 99 or 100% with weeks and months. So like in the process that we were talking before, yeah, we went to like from just the idea of what we want to do to analyze the problem and go through everything, create all the screens. And now we have like a clickable prototype from our decentralized advertising or slash decentralized marketing platform. We went through all of it in 2.5 weeks. So process that anywhere in any corporate will have take 6 to 6 months to 12 months. So I'm very, very happy with it. And yeah. So, but that's the approach. I will start with the problem and then just like kind of like solving it step by step. And if I will say only one thing, why all of these really work, possibly this is, I've been skipping it, but this is possibly the key, is that we visualize as much as possible. Make everything visual. However, take a Lego, take some pieces of paper and put them together, or origami, take some colors and paint, or use your digital tablet, or put some shapes in PowerPoint and put them together. Visualize it with stickmen, drawing, sketches, however, but visualize things. Because when you're doing it, it just reduces these communication gaps in the process between everyone, and everyone very quickly gets into the idea. And all is really good. With words, it's so easy to get lost in translation, so to say. So yeah, I believe that visualizing is the one key that from the problem to the absolute complete idea or concept, visualization was key. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's our secret. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, okay. And what else? Are there more secret ingredients than just visualizations? So what do you need to successfully create innovations?
Yeah, like the other thing is you really need to have people that want to solve the problem. If there's someone who's not really like interested in solving it or anything, this person is going to slow down. So, you know, whenever we create workshops, we even design them in a way that we see like how much energy we are consuming from the people. Like we understand some parts are very demanding, and afterwards we just plan with a little break and then maybe a little exercise to get people already on board. But we check that we are, you know, like moving it kind of in a natural way. But with that said, you really want to have people that are motivated to do this, because if not, yeah, maybe someone, let's say like someone has a really critical thinking, but more like on the negative side. Don't bring this person through the entire workshop. You know, like there's some moments where you want to accelerate. You don't need to have them, but bring them maybe with some little milestones in between. Maybe you don't even have to bring this person and confront the others in the moment. Maybe you can just address this person separately and get the points, because else everything is going to see like, oh, okay, this doesn't work. This doesn't work. This doesn't work, right? But it's more like you just come back with a summary. Okay, look, we talked with some potential stakeholders. And these are not new challenges to solve. And then it's different, right? It's not someone just like making you feel like you didn't do it correctly. But yeah, I was about to say describe another world, but I tried to make it family friendly.
But yeah. Yeah, great. Okay, cool. That's super interesting. And so basically, you are finding solutions to problems, or how do you find these solutions? How do you get to innovative results there? From which I don't know portfolio of possible solutions are you drawing the solutions, or what is there the way to create innovations?
That is difficult. I have some theories. I believe that most of the solutions that we ever come out with, they are due through synthesis process. So we are just seeing hundreds and thousands of different ideas being applied. Maybe some of these ideas been applied in like 5 or 7 or 10 different industries. And I believe that, at least like for me, talking very personally, I don't know if this is something that works for everyone else, but I have led the last decade of my life just trying to try everything. Mirko, when I say everything, is I like to know and be able to do everything. Programming, 3D modeling, building, crafting stuff in real life, electronics, creating music, digitally both playing also instruments, a skateboard. I just want to try everything because I know that every time that I acquire a new skill or new knowledge, then I'm more likely to be able to put up stuff together. And yeah, I'm just like come out easily with potential solutions for a single problem. The important thing, as I said before, is that it's important who's on the other side, who's also going to be doing this with you. Like in terms of now, if I'm Whisper, right? And I have a conversation with the customer, I always want to know that it's important, whatever they are doing, that it's important that they do this, and that, because if not, we are not going to help them. So if the problem is not big enough, then they might see that we are too expensive and so on and these kind of things. But when the problem is big, when the problem is there, when they really think this is like imminent, it's extremely, it's essential, it's important to solve it, then they are, first of all, for us, which is good, they are likely to have more budget allocated for it, which also gives us more flexibility to, you know, like put more time into the solution making and so on. But it is just more likely that the person is going to accept, let's say, non-orthodoxical or like non-orthodox solutions. You know, like the fan is non-orthodox solutions. Like, oh, okay, corporate will never approve that. Maybe it can be because of ego, because, oh, we're a multinational company. We cannot just have a fan. We need the entire machine. What if our customers see that? I don't know. Like, I'm the kind of person that thinks like, look, if this fan is going to make this thing fly away from the production line and problem solve and 10 euros, then let's do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is how it goes.
Okay. Yeah, that's super interesting. And yeah. I'm always trying to innovate processes or to rethink processes and find new ideas. And that's why I'm so interested in that. So let's get closer to the topic of processes here. As you might know, in process management, it's often about continuous improvement of processes. Mm-hmm. Or as I just learned, there's a difference between continuous and continual improvement.
So it's I didn't even know.
No, me neither. But yeah. So basically, it's about improving processes from time to time. And this is often about very small steps to get a little bit better. But then stepping back and having a look onto the process and really create innovations, do it in a completely new, innovative way, whatever. That's often the big topic because the people are just in the normal environment. They do it as they always do it and they just get a little bit better. What would you recommend to a person being accountable for a process, like a process owner, on how to innovate a specific business process? Can take anyone.
Okay.
It's just,
yeah.
To what would you recommend?
I would, from time to time, I mean, this is not something that you do every week, nor every month, maybe even year, but every like 3-4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, so once, maximum twice in your lifetime as a process owner, in average, so to say, making assumptions here.
Yeah.
I would kind of really go through it and ask, do we need this? And just try to draw the entire thing. And maybe with the, let's say, like least sensible process in the company and so on, just try to apply it like for 1 week and see how it goes. Usually most companies have some metrics and so on that will help them very quickly quantitize and decide whether this was an improvement or not. But yeah, at the very end, it's also all about about the people that follow this process, right? Like was it, if you're having someone taking the exact same time, like basically no results are changing in the company, but this person is definitely way more comfortable and happier, and then do it, then change it, you know. But yeah, so but that's the thing, is just kind of take everything what you have at once, and then just try to draw it from the beginning. You can do like a workshop and kind of like simulate with people, make like if it's theater and a scenario that people simulate. Okay, now I'm going to take this document and bring it here. And then kind of like say like, okay, what happens if this person doesn't sign this document? Now let's try to reproduce it back again, you know? So there are many ways to do it, but if you really want to innovate, you have to, let's say like, take the risk of at least thinking about how it could look in a different way. Because the hard way, and believe me, this is the way that for most people, and this is again an assumption, at a glance feels like the easiest way is, okay, we take what it is and we try to see how to make it better. And then you see people around in the circles like, okay, so this is our process. How can we make it better? And so the people to raise their hands, right? And then, yeah, you can only get like this minimum incremental. I guess there's even a high chance that your process might be even more complex than before.
Yeah.
Because you're asking people to add things. It's way easier to add things than to reduce things. And when you're making videos, the same. Yeah, we were talking right before we started about videos. That's why I mentioned it. But yeah, so yeah, that would be kind of like the approach. But yeah, you have to know what kind of cultures you have in the company, what kind of people. So you have to kind of like get the right mix. But I have one just to concretize and in a very practical way. One way, and this is one of the methods that I invented. Mm-hmm. So I will come and just sketch like the different parts of the processes. If there's like a database, then I will like draw a cylinder with some lines below and it looks like the icon of a database. If there's some manager, I will just gonna like draw a little person with a tie and so on. And then I have lots of lines and connectors. And then I will do is I will put like all the process, just all these little like pieces of paper with the different sketches. I cut them, right? So I can move them around and I just put them in a plan on top of the table.
Okay.
And then I ask the people, okay, let's move them around. And people are allowed to kind of like move them with the hands and so on. You can print it, I don't know, like six times, have six groups, 3-4 people each. And they all of them try to kind of modify the process and then you have them all present and so on. And you can include some challenges. Maybe let the different teams, or maybe half of the teams work on maybe on a particular dimension. One is about reducing time. The other one is, I don't know, like maximize revenues or whatever. But let them play around and then compare the scenarios. Because you see, I'm coming back to what I started with. When you're doing this, everyone has like different ideas. And when they are presenting all these different ideas, what you are allowing is more synthesis to happen, more combinations of ideas and things. So it's all about that. You can tell some groups is like, okay, you are the ones who have to try to reduce some things. Other ones you have to try to add some things. I don't know. This is up to you, but I'm just trying to bring everything what I was telling before a little bit more into practice. But why? Because when everyone has this like copy of the process in paper and it's easy to move a paper, just like you just like slide it around. Yeah, then people will slide them around and move them. If you have, imagine how people have it, you know, like usually they will print or someone puts in a PowerPoint something. For most of them, look, it's like it's written in stone. It's like, oh no, management approved this. I'm not going to be the one trying to change it. But yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I can imagine now. I mean, it's also complicated.
What would you recommend to get ideas from the outside? So people could do some scouting, I would say, but or hire you as a consultant to bring in ideas. But how do I get new ideas into what I'm doing?
Yeah. Watch this podcast and the others.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but at the end, I believe it's like watching podcasts, videos. Look, I will say how I do it. I believe that's easier. It doesn't apply to everyone because everyone has like different lifestyles and everything. I spend between half an hour to 1 hour absolutely every single day looking at all new technology updates. Like since 1 year, I've been just learning about macroeconomics and finance and so on because I want to also understand this part. But yeah, but I'm dedicating each day half an hour to 1 hour just to understanding what is out there and the new updates and maybe like try to learn something new. And for that, I use a YouTube. I follow like one channel called Tech Quickie, and it's from a company called Linus Tech Tips. And this one, I have not skipped an episode. I don't know how long it exists, 3-4 years, but I haven't skipped it a single time. It's like three episodes a week, 6-7 minutes in average. So in 20-21 minutes, you know everything what's going on, like when it comes to technology. ChatGPT-4 is out and the first reviews are out, then you have an idea of what is happening and so on. So I do that. Every time that I want to learn something new, I try to make a little project out of it. Whether it's what did I show me at the beginning of the COVID crisis, Corona crisis? I remember I started teaching me how to make cartoons. So I made like 2D animated cartoons and so on. And as part of the cartoon, I needed a jingle. So I need to learn now how to teach me how to do music. To create the characters, I need to like start using Illustrator. So I need to show me how to illustrate things. And you know, and very, very quickly, you know, it's like just with a single project, you have to teach yourself so many different skills. So even if it takes a long time, it's going to be funny. So you can do something. It can be at the end, like, I did this for my friends just as a joke. And the thing is, like, people were like, whoa, you should continue to do this. But, you know, like, with WeSpark and everything else going on, I couldn't help myself to, you know, like, convince myself to do more cartoons. But yes, just you have to expose yourself to many different things. There's, like, Reddit. There's pages like Skillshare to learn and so on, Udemy. Just, you know, everyone can go out and it's like, oh, I need a new iPhone. $1,000, now $1,500. Okay, you buy it. But the moment that it's like, oh, okay, this platform costs 70 euros or 70 US dollars a month to learn something, most people's like, oh, this is very expensive. It costs someone so much. But the value of your learning something else can even make you the money in a single day back. You know, you pay, I don't know, like 840 euros. For a 70 euros a month kind of thing, like 840 euros in 1 year for learning, even if it's 15, 20 minutes a day, it's incredible. It's going to change your life. And you could possibly, I don't know, you taught yourself for 1 year how to do videos. In a single day, you can make the rest of it and multiply it by 5 or 8 or 10. So that's it. Just make something. And if you don't know how to start, if you're thinking it's, ah, one day I would like to be like this or this person that I know, like, try to have people in your network that have these skills or that talk about the topics that you would like to learn more. You know, in Spanish, you say like, que entre miel and algo se le pega. It usually means like if you're walking through honey, something's going to stick to you. But what I'm saying is that at the end, like the five people that are closest to you, they influence your life the most. Mm-hmm. So you want to get more humor, maybe try to go out more with the friends that is always telling jokes or the ones that likes to go to comedy shows and so on. You know, you want to learn how to start your own company. Maybe there's someone that you know that knows someone who's an entrepreneur. Maybe ask them, hey, maybe we can go for a coffee or beer sometimes. You know, so that's it. Just get exposed however you can to anything. And maybe the last thing, I hope that I'm not doing this too long, but I really, truly want to share this with everyone. To get used to seeing new things, learning new things, just from time to time, just say yes to yourself to things that you wouldn't usually do. I remember one of the times that was very hard, but I was just came into bed, I had brushed my teeth, put my pajama, go into this, and then I hear my phone, and it's like, okay, a friend of mine is calling, it's like, Nelson, come to this really cool party, there's some entrepreneurs and so on. It was like 11. I said, like, I'm on my way. I said, I'm on my way. And then I just took out, put some clothes. I mean, I had already brushed my teeth, so I missed this perfume. I go out. And then in this, like, party, I will stay, like till 3, 4 a.m., but I met some really cool people that just, like, gave me lots of perspectives and ideas about things. That was when I was starting my entrepreneurial journey. So it was way easier to just stay in bed and sleep well and not be hangover on the next day. But I will have missed a couple of, let's say, like, critical conversations that at the end influence my life and kind of like expand my horizons of what I understand and what I don't know and therefore don't understand. But yeah, I hope that is enough to answer that question.
Yeah, I love that. Love that. That's super interesting. And which trends do you see right now coming up there? People should have a closer look onto. I know you already mentioned ChatGPT, but what else?
Yeah, okay. So obviously AI, but I guess you already had people talking about it. So in a single don't be scared of AI. Use it. That's what you need to do. You know, if you're using AI, then you can like multiply yourself. You're just better. If you're not using AI, then okay, then it's going to substitute you. But something cannot substitute yourself if you're adding your human nature and complex thinking and everything and the entire knowledge of what you know about the personal things to AI, then good. But apart from AI, the one where that really, really gave me, and I'm not kidding, at least five moments where I had like an epiphany, just like these moments, it hits, it's like, jeez, this is crazy. And you feel like the entire world is going to change. That was mostly with decentralized technologies, with blockchain and so on. Mm-hmm. The first time when I heard about it, I was working for a cargo airline. So I was basically in the logistics industry, and I hear about blockchain and so on. And I'm just starting to learn about it. And I have heard about Bitcoin and eventually heard about Ethereum and so on. But just 2 years ago, I really went deep into the industry. It really changed everything. Like, my entire company is focusing on different things. And, you know, when I'm thinking about innovation for everything forward, I'm just thinking in the new ways of how businesses will work. And this has something very cool to do with processes. Like, it has extremely big changes in how processes work. Basically, what I'm convinced, not by belief, but by understanding and more than 2,000 hours learning this in the last 2 years, which is extremely a lot. As you can see, I really got crazy with this, is eventually we will have companies that are more decentralized. And that means that there's not a CEO or something. It's just there's a common goal to achieve. There's some service or product, and anyone in any moment can just kind of participate in this company and get paid in the tokens of the company that are basically shares of the company. So when the company is doing good, it's paying dividends to the people, and these dividends you can, use to live. You change them to euros, to US dollars, you change them to Bitcoin. Salvador, you can pay with Bitcoin. But that's the idea. But what that means is that processes and so on will become maybe even more robust, less flexible than what they are, because they will be hard-coded program. If you go and do this and that, the code is going to read, this is done, then this is the next possible step. So yeah, that is one of the things that I'm most extremely excited about. It's both scary and super cool at the same time. So I decided that because it's scary and cool at the same time, I should go into this industry and, try to influence as many people as I can and try to influence the trend in a direction where it's less scary and more on the exciting side. Everything has pros and cons. But the fun thing and the last thing that I mentioned about it is, I'm not kidding, two and a half years ago, someone who would be talking to me about Bitcoin and the stuff, I would think it's very weird to say. Maybe some people that know me, when they hear this, they will be like, wow, this is arrogant. But I would think these people were kind of crazy and maybe uneducated and so on. But I have been 100% totally proven wrong in every way. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of crazy people and so on, but some of the greatest minds that I know today, I met only through this industry. It's I'm always recognizing that the people that are just creating the future right now, while everyone thinks that, oh, this is crazy and so on, they are in these kind of things, So, yeah. I mean, you could say that the same apply to AI. I'm not in the industry, but the very next thing that I want to do is I want to take maybe one weekend alone, kind of put some data sets together and teach myself how to train my own AI, install it on my computer and have my own personal AI assistant just working and living inside of my PC. Stored there and functioning. So, yeah. I hope that's not too much.
No, definitely not. That's super inspiring. And I see some similarities because I also tried out some of these things. But yeah, that's super good. Thanks so much for that. But just transferring your overall expertise on innovation onto processes, mm-hmm. What would be your three top recommendations to our listeners to rethink processes?
Okay, I have mentioned a couple of them. So this is more like a summary. First of all, visualize them. Put them in a really visual way. And I mean, yeah, if it's already text with arrows, convey these texts into little images, drawings, because then you make it accessible, understandable for everyone. Maybe someone cannot participate so well, but when you visualize, it's way easier. The second one is, once you have these visualizations, put them in any type of platform or software or thing where you can move things around, or just print them, cut them, and make people understand by, consciously as well as unconsciously, that they can change it, that is changeable, right? So we visualize, now we make it changeable. And number three is just give people little tasks, try to ask people to reduce things or to add things, other ones to kind of achieve the same through a different weight. Other ones is just give them all the pieces separate, but don't put the process together. Let them know, tell them to put it back together again. Maybe they find through trying to put it back, they come out to something similar and so on. But yeah, But as you see, is I said, like, make it visual, separate it, put back together again, then this, you're probably going to innovate and have lots of findings on the way. I know here it's very simple, but in real life, it just works, and it works really well.
Cool. Very good. So where can our listeners learn more about what you're doing? Where can they find you?
Yeah, so LinkedIn is what I always say. I haven't been, to be honest, I haven't been posting enough lately. Like 90% of all my posts have been more like reposts from other people and so on that have been mentioning me or something. But I am definitely there, and I hope to kind of like get started. But I hope that after LinkedIn, in the next month, as soon as this other project is finished, that I'm going to start live streaming again. And I guess I will always come back to LinkedIn. But if someone wants to learn more about me or find me everywhere on WeSpark, if you go to WeSpark.io, I for innovation, O for on, innovation on, then /Nelson, then you will find all the information about me. And there you will find everywhere where I am. I believe like I'm quite active on Twitter and LinkedIn at the end. But it depends, you know, like more businessy on the LinkedIn side, more on the philosophizing and talking about decentralization on the Twitter side. But yeah.
Okay,
cool. You can find me as Nelson Ino, Ino with double N, basically everywhere.
Yeah, that's good. And I'll put the links into the show notes so it's easy to find you for awesome. The listeners. Perfect. So what would be your recommendation on to which topic, method, tool, or expert I should, or we as the community should have a closer look on to get new ideas on rethinking processes?
Okay, yeah, that will be definitely my only real LinkedIn friend. He's called Benjamin Dehant with an H. And Benjamin, he's possibly one of the most greatest persons that I know. I believe I see him as he sees me. But something that he's doing good, and right now he's very, very active on LinkedIn, is he's been learning everything around AI, but he's testing every single thing. Like, believe me, he tests everything. He just created a video game. That's his last post from 2 days ago using ChatGPT-4 and so on.
Okay.
The thing is that he just goes into every new exciting technology and creates a post, a video, an article around it. So it's 100% he's the sort of person that has the potential to inspire you to just like try out things. So, yeah. I'm going to send you the link so that maybe you'll share it with
cool.
the others. I mean, yeah. I follow him as one of the few people that I'm actually, when I see his name and there's a post, it's like, I'm excited. I want to see. He knows it.
Okay.
He comments on everything what I post. I comment on everything what I post, but it's just because it's by nature, you know, something cool.
That's cool. Yeah, maybe you can do an intro and I can interview him here as well to try to find out how to apply his expertise onto processes, especially in the AI area. That's cool. Ah, great. I love that. So before we leave the aircraft, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
Before we leave the aircraft? Yeah, sure. I will say just don't be too quick to judge people. And I will explain why I mean this and why I'm saying this. A lot of people come to me and they like what I do. And because I'm always kind of like bridging between everything what is like corporate businessy and kind of like more on the startup side and so on. But like how other people see me, there's other people that I see. They just go like from this startup to the absolute creative chaos. And I feel that a lot of people will be very harsh and judge the sort of people that I follow that inspire me, because they think it's like, okay, they are not what society expects from a person. They are not the sort of person that builds a career in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I'm the person that I think is like, wow, like they are following their passion for real. Yeah. So just don't be too quick to judge. Like, this applies to crazy people doing AI things. This applies to, and I say crazy, I should have said crazy like this, you know, this applies to crazy people doing Bitcoin stuff and cryptocurrency stuff, you know. it just feels wrong when you really have the perspective. Like, basically, before I said that I was judging some people in cryptocurrencies, I thought these people are crazy and educated. I was wrong. I was 100% wrong. And now I'm very inspired. These people work harder and have more knowledge than everyone else, because the topic is the sort of topics that just needs you to explore things from 100 different perspectives, because that's what you will get once you decentralize anything, you know. So, yeah, to be quick to judge, try to find what is valuable in everyone else's opinions. And yeah, if you do, you will be assimilating this, and eventually you will have more ideas, more perspectives, and just more, I'm going to call it now as it is, things that you can paste together and innovate.
Yeah, great. Cool. Love it. Perfect. So how would you describe your flight experience with just three words?
Well, it definitely, I don't know where I landed.
Yeah, neither, but it seems to be nice here. Yeah.
Maybe it's more of this like rise that you land back where you were, but you had a really nice experience in the meantime.
Maybe.
You know, like an air show.
Yeah. With some loopings.
Yeah. Some loopings.
Cool. Nelson, thank you so much for being my guest on the New Process Podcast. It was super inspiring, innovative, and I'm really looking forward to opportunities in the future to collaborate with you in some ways, whatever, we'll see.
Yeah, sure. Follow me on LinkedIn. I will soon publish if everything goes along plan, and yeah, I need to hit wood. if everything goes all right, I will have lots to share and lots of value to add to everyone who's following me very, very soon. But yeah, thanks again for the invite and for allowing me to here to share some of my thoughts. And yeah, and thank you for everything. It's been a really cool moment, like since we started talking to today. Sorry that it took a little bit longer, but I'm happy that we finally did it.
Yeah, me too. So great. So Nelson, thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Let's recap today's new process inspiration.
Wow, that was inspiring. And Nelson and I continued the conversation after the recording for just some minutes. And he quickly introduced me into the world of Bitcoin. So he asked me to download an application from the App Store, which is called Wallet of Satoshi. And I just opened the app and said, receive money, and held my phone into the camera. And there was a QR code, which he scanned. And then he sent me money. So crypto money, Bitcoin in that case, or Satoshi, which is part of Bitcoin. And wow, that was impressive. So just downloading the app, opening it and receiving and sending money within seconds without authentication. I thought about an authentication process, which would be necessary there, but it is not. So that was eye-opening for me, I would say. Yeah, and just try it out. I'll put the link into the show notes as well. So what else did I keep in mind? So I think Nelson's approach is very much about finding innovative solutions to problems. And yeah, I love his mindset, therefore. He recommends to try out as much as possible, to learn, build, to play around, to craft, just to acquire new skills. And also to read or watch tech news like the Tech Wiki on YouTube. I'll put that show into the show notes as well. He recommends to surround yourself with the right people. So with innovative people, have a network of people which are supporting you. So maybe it's good to have Nelson in your network as well. Lastly, he also said, say yes to something you would normally not do, like the example with the call at night to go to a party, where his original plan was just to go to bed. He also gave an advice to process owners, or maybe also process architects, to innovate processes. This is not these incremental improvement steps, step by step. It's more or less once in a lifetime innovation of a process for a process owner there. So nothing on a regular basis. And there, his recommendations were to first visualize the process. So to sketch it, paint, use Lego or origami, or maybe that's what I would add, just use a process model to visualize the process and then print it out and cut it into pieces to make it on the one hand side tangible and changeable. So that's really important to make it possible to move it around. And then in the next step, give tasks to the team, to your process architects, people working in the process managers, and ask them to add things or to remove things, to change the process, to make it better, to integrate innovative ideas. And then finally, let the people present their ideas and then look what ideas are coming up there, how to improve the process or how to innovate the process.
Yeah. For me, as a process guy, I was hoping for a little bit more structured approach, but I really love this mindset. So I'll try to integrate that into the new process lifecycle, which is part of the toolbox on newprocesslab.com. And I already started conversation, got in contact with Benjamin DeHaant, which was one of the expert recommendations by Nelson. Hopefully, I'll make it to get him onto the New Process podcast in the future as well. So there are some really cool topics on the list. I'm still producing just in time, and I'm not 100% sure which interview will be next and which then will be the next episode. But let's see. Definitely, it will be entertaining and innovative and inspiring. I hope so. So for now, thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye and auf Wiedersehen.
You've been listening to the New Process Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode for more tools, methods, and best practices to rethink your process and push it to the next level. Thank you for listening.
Before you leave, if this episode was inspiring for you too, then just share it with the people in your network. Remember what Nelson said about having always an inspiring network of people around you. So now it's time to give back. Just click onto the share button in your application and send this podcast episode to the people you really like. So have a great day. Bye-bye.